Okay, the first thing I want to bring to your attention, continuation from yesterday, this Shabbos is a Shabbos Shira. We discussed yesterday at great length all of the various minhagim relating to Shabbos Shira. And I just want to bring to your attention is a very popular piyut that we recite at a bris mila, the piyut of Yom Layabasha. Who was the author of Yom Layabasha? The very famous Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi is the one who authored the Kuzari. He is the one who authored the very famous Kina Tzioin Halos Sishali Lishlom Asirayich. Matir Asum, just finished Matir Asum, Asirayich. And he also composed this very beautiful, extremely beautiful Kina called Yom Liyabosha Nefchu Mitzulim. The Mitzulim, the depths of the sea, Mitzulim means the depths of the Yam, were transformed into dry land, Yom, on that very special day. Which day? The day of Kriyas Yamsef. Now if you look at the acrostic of this, if you were to look at the acrostic later on, it's a very beautiful piyut to look at. It's a masterpiece. It's Yud, Hey, Vav, Dalet, Hey, Ye, Yehuda, Hey, Lamid, Vav, Yud, Halevi. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi is the author of this piyut, and it is recited almost by every bris milah, but they have at least a million left over, and will recite Yom Liyabasha. Why? Because in this piyut we make mention of bris milah. What do we make mention about bris milah? We take, probably the nicest part of the Shira is Lemizos, the Lamed of Halevi, Lemizos Nirshemes, to who Lemizos Nirshemes, Hakerna Devar Emes, Lemi Hachlisemes, Ulemi Hapesilim, Shira Chadosha Shibchu Geulim. We make mention here of what Tamar said to Yehuda. Recognize Hakerna Dvarmes. She said to you, what did she say to Yehuda? Recognize the truth. You're going to have me executed. You're going to have me branded or executed, turned to the fire for being Mizane. Hakerna Dvarmes. Recognize the truth. You are the father of the child. Lemi hachoisemes ulemi hapesilim. To whom is the choisem, is the signet ring, and to whom are the psilim is the cloak. Shira Chadosh, then we have the reframe, Shira Chadosh Shir Chugulim. Now in the context of this piyut, the Chosemes refers to the Bris Mila. The Bris Mila is the Chosem, is a seal. It's a seal on a person's flesh. And the psilim is referring to the tzitzis. And what's the common denominator between the, then the next words are Shira Chadosh Shibchu Geulim, is they sang a Shira at Kriyas Yamsuf. When did Kriyas Yamsuf take place? Or we call it Shvihi Shol Pesach, on the seventh day of Pesach, related on the seventh day, Vayim Shach Paro, but in many areas of Machshava, it's considered on the eighth day since Makas Bechoros. On the one hand, it's the seventh day, but on the other hand, it's also considered to be the eighth day because it's eight. When do you count? You count 8 days. Klal Yisrael counts 8 days starting from the night, but until that point in time, until the transition, Chatzos Halayla, we were still Bnei Noach, and Bnei Noach, it was considered to be still part of the previous day. We're not going to go through all the details, or you can go back to the time of when Makas Bechoros took place, or when they slaughtered the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach was slaughtered the day before, on the 14th day. So there is much drush to explain why sometimes we refer to Kriyas Yamsuf as the 8th day. On the simple understanding, Kriyas Yamsuf, we left Egypt on the 15th day of Nisan, which would mean that Kriyas Yamsuf took place on the 7th day since we left Mitzrayim. But we all know that the 14th day has a very significant role in Pesach. On the 14th day is when you actually slaughter the Korban Pesach. The process begins. Even if we follow the 15th day, when does the 15th day really begin? At night. But we were not considered to be Jews until the following morning, so we're following the night really goes after the previous day. And that would, that according to that calculation, we would be, it would be 8 days into Yetzias Mitzrayim when Kriyas Yamsuf took place. And that is exactly what the Paiton, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, is doing. He's grouping together these three things. The three eights, the eight of Tzitzis, on the corner of each garment there are eight strands, and on the corner, and the Bris Mila takes place on the eighth day. And the Kriyas Yamsuf took place on the eighth day, and that's what he says. L'mizos nirshemes. Concerning whom is it written the following statement? It's a rhetorical question. Klal Yisrael. Concerning Klal Yisrael, is it written in the Torah the following words? Hakerno dvar emes. Recognize the emes. What's the emes? L'miha chosemes l'miha pasilim Yehuda. To whom does it belong? This signet ring. To whom does it belong? This garment. This cloak. But in the context of this period, he's saying, to whom is this mitzvah of Bris Mila, which takes place on the eighth day, and to whom is there a mitzvah of Tzitzis, which has eight strings, and to whom did Kriyas Yamsuf take place for Klal Yisrael? And he groups all of these things together, and that's really why this period is said by a Bris Mila. He references the Bris Mila in one of the stanzas before, where he says, Habom imcha bivris choysamcha umibeten l'shimcha hema ni Molim. He's one more line which makes mention of the Bris Mila before that. There is a Chesemes, there is a Bris Mila. But what's very difficult is, if that's really the case, why then does it conclude every single one of these lines with the refrain of Shira Chadasha Shibchu Geolim, and does it begin Yom on that day La Yabosha Nefchu Mitzulim, the depths were transformed into dry land? And therefore the Mefarshim tell us something we should all bear in mind, that this piyut that was composed by Rabbi Yehuda Halevi was composed for Shabbos Shira. This that we recite, this piyut by a Bris Mila, we are borrowing. It's not for what it was meant for. The primary composition of this Shira, Yom La Yabasha, was meant to be sang, to be sung, recited or sung on this coming Shabbos, Shabbos Shira. And indeed, many people have the custom to sing this, Yom La Yabasha, Nefchu Mitzulim, on Shabbos Shira. And when you come to a Bris Mila, no, it's only secondary. Secondary, because it happened to make mention of L'miha Chesemes Vapasilim, so we have nothing else to say. Yehuda Halevi did not compose anything else for Bris Mila, so we have to go to the ultimate, the master Paiton, and we borrow from his compositions something that also relates to Bris Mila, but it's not what it was meant for. And there's a very chashuv inyan to say this piyut on Shabbos Shira.
When you say
after by the Suda, I'm sure there are kehilas that could be they even sing it during davening after they finish laning. It's a very Shabbos. We discussed yesterday the Chashir Shabbos Shira. There are so many different inyanim in Shabbos Shira, the beauty and the importance of Shabbos Shira. One other meaning I just forgot to mention is some of the meaning that I don't ask if you do this in your kehila, where when you recite Psukei de Zimra and you come to Oz Yashir, the Tzibur recites it pasuk by pasuk. Do you do that?
Yeah.
By Rick Garfinkel?
Yeah.
Do you do that?
Yeah.
They do. Rabbi Bergman, they do that?
Yeah.
Wow. What?
Rabbi
who?
Rabbi Bidowitz,
they do this?
Yeah.
And the young Israel here, what do they do?
They do if the person is thinking.
Okay.
He's aware of it now.
Okay.
There's no problem to read the Oz Yashir in under sound. Not as other part of the Torah, other nigun.
Why is there a problem? This is tradition. It's a minhag. It's a tradition, and that says it all. Where does it come from? I don't know. But that's how it's done. We discussed the singing yesterday. Just to point out that the minhag is to recite it pasuk by pasuk by pasuk de Zimra. It appears that it used to be. It could be. It's done in some place where it's done even when they lain. As they're learning, like for example, when do we recite pasuk by pasuk? Only on a time of Sibur. We recite Tashdu Yud Gil Bil Sarachim Shuv Mecharon Apecha. That's the only time. Is there any other time that we recite when it's a very big chish, when you're actually laning the Torah and the Sibur recites ahead of the Shliach Sibur of the Korei a pasuk Hashem Hashem? I'm not sure there is any other time that we would do this, but it appears that in ancient times, so not so long ago, it was done other parts of Kriyas HaTorah, specifically Shabbos Shira, that the Tzibur would recite together or in advance, pasuk by pasuk, the Shira as it would be read from the Torah.
You do by Simchas Torah.
Okay, but that some do, some don't. That's more of a. Oh, you're right. Okay, you're right. By Hulu, you do that. You do so. By here, you're right. You are correct. That's true. But it appears that some did have the minig. Maybe some people still do it today, where they have the custom. Maybe to recite some of the psukim went together with the shliach tzibur. We do not do it. Instead, we do it by psukei de zimra. In some communities, it is done, and that appears to be a very solid, well-established, popular custom of reciting it pasuk by pasuk by psukei de zimra. Yeah.
Based on the Medrash that says that, according to one opinion, that they said it responsibly.
They're right. They did say it. Vayanu, Vayomru, Vayomru, one pasuk. That's the way it should be said. It should be said. We discussed yesterday. We sang Oz Yashar and Psuk the Zimra is a modern innovation. It's not really part of Psukei de Zimra. It's something which was added to the Nusach of Psukei de Zimra at a much later point in time in history. And it originally was said after Baruch Hu. Some never even said it. Some do say it. It's a much more modern innovation into the Nusach HaTfil. Okay, I want to discuss with you some ideas. Now, this is what? So it doesn't say here Mate. Because we only are taking things that have eight. That's why we're not mentioning Yishu. Moshe is struck by Yad with the Mate. That's a very interesting. That's with the Mate. He doesn't. Yudah HaKalil did not include the Mate in the Piyot. Moshe, he did Kriyas Yamsuf with the Mate. With the Mata. He only have the Chosemes and the Psilim. Okay, but then I'm reading you the Piyot. I want to go discuss with you another very beautiful idea. We have a minig on Tu B'Shvat to eat peros. This is a drush. If Mr. Axelrod was here, he would tell me that this is a drush with not just a capital D, with a massive size capital D, but nevertheless it's a drush. Now we have a minig on Tu B'Shvat to eat peros. I saw in some of the Minhagim, some have a custom to eat the Shiva Saminim, some have a custom to eat 13 types of peros, some have a custom to eat 10 types, 7 types, 30 types. You can find in the carve everything you possibly want, no problem. But where is it recorded in Shulchan Aruch that there is such a custom? So the truth is, in Shulchan Aruch itself, nowhere. It's not in Shulchan Aruch, it's not in the Ramah. It's not recorded anywhere in Shulchan Aruch a custom to be marbe in eating fruits on Tu B'Shvat. The Magen Avraham brings it down. Where does the Magen Avraham bring it down? So if I would ask you, what would you say? Where would the Magen Avraham bring down that you eat on Tu B'Shvat? I don't know. I'm not very learned in Shulchan Aruch. You'd find a place. If you were given the task to insert the custom of eating fruits on Tu B'Shvat, I assume we would spend some time going to Shulchan Aruch and find an appropriate place which would make a lot of logical sense. You'll be shocked where the Magen Avraham selected to tell us about the minhag of eating peros. Not Hilchos Chanukah. Try again. Something more bizarre. The laws of Tachnun. The laws of Tachnun. So I guess if you know Nusach Svar, you'll never learn the halacha. He's trying to hide it. if you daven Nusach Svar, you'll never come across this minhag. In a few moments. Let's just go through this and then we'll discuss it. Okay. So we have over here, let me read you where it comes from. In Hilchos Tachnun, okay, here I'm holding a Mishnah Brura. The Mishnah Brura, Hilchos Nefilas Apayim, the laws of falling on your face. Simin Kuf Lamed Aleph. I'm reading here in the Mechaber. Sif Katan, Sif Vav. What does it say in Sif Vav? Nohagu Shaloi Lipol Al Pneim B'tu B'Av. V'loi B'tu B'Shvat. It is the custom that on Tu B'Shvat not to fall on your face, not to recite Tachlin. V'loi B'Rosh Chodesh, V'loi B'Mincha, Shalofana, V'loi B'Chanukah. There's a discussion, do you recite Tachlin on the day Mincha before Tu B'Shvat? Halacha L'maaseh, we don't. We're very generous. Once we don't recite on Tu B'Shvat, we do not recite it. We do not, in the morning, but then we do not recite it. It's not Nogea this year, because this year it's Friday, so it doesn't make a difference. But if Tu B'Shvat would fall in the middle of in the Ritz, you would not recite Tachnun on the day of the Mincha before Tu B'Shavuot. Okay, fine. Now, this is the Mechaber. The Mechaber, it's all he says. He's talking about Tachnun. He has light halachas. It's very interesting, the laws of Tachnun, what it's all about. And then there's the Magen Avram. Mishneh Berurah is not the Magen Avram. The Mishneh Berurah is a Likut, and he likes to select Brit Halacha. So since the Magen Avram here on the page, on Shulchan Aruch, tells you about, so he quotes the Magen Avram word for word. Here it says Tu B'Shvat. I'm quoting from the Mishneh Berurah, the laws of Tachnun, Chelik Beis, not exactly the place where you would expect to find them in Minhagim, right? Minhagim, Lamed, Sif Katan, Lamed Aleph. Let me jump down to the Mishneh Berurah, Tu B'Shvat. Shuhu, why not? Why don't you eat? Why don't we fold Tachnun on Tu B'Shvat? Shuhu, Rosh Hashanah Li'ilanos. V'nohagin, Ho'ashkenazim. Shlaharbois oz bimine pero shel ilanois. It's the custom of Ashkenazim that you should eat many different types of fruits, of different varieties of trees on Tu B'Shvat. Wow. Who says this? Look in the Shartzion, this is Chavav on the bottom. He quotes from V'chein Kosav. No, Magen Avram. I'm sorry, Chavav, Magen Avram. It's Magen Avram. So the Darshanim, capital D, my inyan zelze. Nothing happens by coincidence. Magen Avram, the Stammer, it goes deeper than the Magen Avram. I'm not just knowledgeable in all the Inyanim, but the Magen Avram is quoting it from the Tachman, the Stammer, there's another layer where it comes from earlier sources. Eating peros on Tu B'Shvat correlates to not falling Tachman. Ma'in Zelazeh. So this requires us to have a greater understanding of what Tachman is all about. There are many Inyanim of Tachman, but one of the primary folks of Tachman is the Moira Gadol. After you daven Shemona Esrei, you come to a very high level of you oimei lefnei HaMelech. You're standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're making requests. When you have a relationship with a great person and you come home, wow, this is a great person. You know, yesterday I had an appointment, I had to meet with a very big Talmud Chacham. I heard about him. I had to speak with him, not for me, where I was representing someone. I had to go to this Talmud Chacham, I had an appointment. Oh, it took forever until I got the appointment. I met with his Gabbai, and I spoke with him at least five times to finally do what we needed to do. So finally, yesterday I come, and I met this person who was highly recommended. And I was very impressed. And I come home, it grew on me. I'm just telling you a personal experience. I met with a great person, I was very impressed with this person, and while I was speaking to him, and he made up an impression. And when I came home, the roshim was even greater. Like, you know, wow, that was impressive. That person really, he's the real thing. I really walked away feeling really very good. When you daven Shemona Esrei, you have an audience with the Ribbono Shel Olam. When the Shemona Esrei is over, wow, that's impressive. That was impressive. And what do? You're suddenly filled with a sense of awe of. And the awe is so great, you don't know, you have to hide. That's what it says. There's such yiras haroimimus, you fall on your face, you cover yourself in shame. That's what it says in the books about Tachnun. It could be it says over here in the Ramah. It's a sense of, I recognize I'm in the presence of greatness, and I'm ashamed that I'm such a low person, I don't deserve to be in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, and you cover yourself. When was the first time a human being fulfilled the concept of Tachanun? First part, time, the concept, the idea, the theme of Tachanun. Adam harishon after the chait of eating from the Eitz Hadas. The Nachash, Isha gives a husband. She gives her husband. All of a sudden, they ate the fruit, the forbidden fruit. They open up their eyes. They were naked. They hide. Why also are they hiding? Now they're ashamed. There's a degree of busha, and they cover their bodies with clothing.
The cover up.
And that's not the end. They hear us. What do they do? We fall tachanun, it's a joke. We go like this. You know, you're supposed to do tachanun, you're supposed to take your talus. Yeah, so you're supposed to go like this, take your talus, you're supposed to not. That's the real way to do it. No one does it like this anymore. But that's how it's brought down in the Svarim. You go on, you fall on your arm, not on your hand, because the hand, palm reading, it says, because all of your sins are written on your hand. So it's not good to fall on your hand because you're falling on the sin. You fall on the arm, and you're supposed to take your talus and cover yourself. You're supposed to hide. You're in ultimate shame. Adam was the first person to fall tachanun. They were making the essence of what tachanun is all about. We are ashamed. Why were they ashamed? Because they ate from the eitz hadas. So this is beautiful. On Tu B'Shvat, Rosh Hashanah Li'ilanos. There's a lot of drush. I don't know the drush. I'm not prepared. But the eating from the Tu B'Shvat, to a certain degree, it's a me'ein. It's a remain that La'asa Lavo, when Mashiach comes, we will be forgiven. Man will be forgiven for the Chet Eitz Hadas. Everything that happens in this world all comes back to the first Chet. The Chet of the Eitz Hadas. The time will come when man will have Kapara. And when man will have Kapara, Mashiach will come and the world will reach its perfection. And they will be once again in Gan Eden. And Hashem will allow us to eat, for rightfully so. Well, then we'll be able to once again eat from the Eitz Hadas. There will be Tikkun. This is all morale talk, Kabbalistic talk, whatever this means, which is not important to know what it means. All we have to know is that Adam fell tachnun because he ate from the Eitz Hadas. If you're no longer falling tachnun, that means you're coming to a point in time where you're forgiven for the sin of eating from the Eitz Hadas. And once again, you can eat from the Eitz Hadas in the proper. You can eat from the Eitz Hadas. You can eat the fruit because you've been forgiven and you've learned from your mistakes. And the time will come when. Just to take a step back, Chazal tells us that Adam was really meant to eat from the Eitz Hadas, but he had lost the weight. The chait was, this many Mepharshim said this, the chait was he was in a rush. He ate it too early. Had he waited just until Shabbos, a few more hours, then he could have eaten from the Eitz Hadas beheter. The percent was he ate from the Eitz Hadas prematurely, too early. So now it's beautiful. It's perfect where we have the mention of eating from the Eitz Hadas in Hillos of Tachnon. On Tu B'Shvat, you don't say tachnun. Because all the days that you don't say tachnun, the day not to say tachnun is Tu B'Shvat. Because tachnun all comes from eating forbidden fruit. So Tu B'Shvat, which represents Rosh Hashanah Li'ilanos, the renewal of the tree, the rectification of the sin of eating from the Eitz Hadas, is bedavka the day you don't fall tachnun. And when you're not falling tachnun, to show that you're not falling tachnun, you should eat food to remind you that we're going back to the time where we are forgiven for the Eitz Hadas, and the time that we will ultimately come to eat the Eitz Hadas. So it's beautiful. It's the real day. From all the days not to say tachnun, it is Tu B'Shvat. Okay, let me just tell you another quick vart for more you say. Yeah.
They haven't any shame.
At the beginning. Because there was no chait. Yeah. There was no Yetzer Hara. That's another shmooze. That's another. Not for now. Let's okay. Let's quickly tie up some loose ends. Just a few. So you saw this. A Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat is the machlekes. When was the world created? Was it created in Nisan or Tishrei? Maybe you know. Just to review some of this. Was it Nisan or Tishrei? What? So we halacha l'maisa said both true. B'machshava the world was created in Tishrei. And Lemaisa, the world was created in Nisan. If I'm not mistaken, that's how it goes. Hayom Haras Olam, the conception, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the plan was put into place, the blueprint was presented in Tishrei, but the world physically was created in Nisan. Now we have a principle that before a person is born, Arboim Yoim Koidim Havlad, Bas Kol comes out from Shemayim, Bas Ploni Leploni. 40 days before creation is a time when already there's an echo, there's already the planning is underway. That means, when did HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when is the Bas Kol of the world was created on, what's the exact date? Well, man was created on Aleph Tishrei. I mean, if you learn that, it was, if you assume that the world was created on Tishrei, it was Aleph Tishrei. But what happened on Aleph Tishrei? We know for a fact that that's the day when man was created. Yeah. If man was created on Aleph Tishrei, man was created on the sixth day, so when was the world created? It was the 25th day of Elul. Now, what? How? If you go back 40 days before the creation of the world, what does that take you to? Tu B'Av. Tu B'Av is when the Baskel, the world, in one respect, is called a creature. It's a person. It's a living organism, the world. The world was created Chaf Hei Elul. That means Arbohim Yoyim Koidem Hayitzira Baskel. There's a Baskel which goes out Bas Ploni Leploni, which Chazal and Midrashim tell us that means that there's going to be a Klal Yisrael in this world, and they're going to be matched up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're going to be the Am HaNivchar. When did the Baskel go out? On Tu B'Av, 40 days before the 25th day of Elul is Tu B'Av. And that is why Tu B'Av is the earliest time when you're supposed to begin to wish your friend a Ksiva V'Chasima Tova. Because the world was created on the 25th day of Elul, which is the first day of creation, culminating with creation of man on the first day of Tishrei on the sixth day, which means that the world, the 25th, go back 40 days, the Baskel, when already things are getting ready, and that's Tu B'Av. Now that's only true. That's 15th day of Av, Chodesh Av. And we have the same principle when it comes to Nisan. If you learn like the man in the world was created on Nisan, when was that was when man was created, Aleph Nisan. When was the world created? Chaf Hei Adar. When is the Baskel? Tu B'Shvat. So Tu B'Shvat is the day when the Baskel is Yotze. Bas Ploini Leploini, that Kadosh Baruch Hu will be mezaveg with Klal Yisrael. It's already to be. It's a renewal. It's not just Rosh Hashanah Lilanos. It's a renewal in the world, in the world itself. It's the beginning. It's the time of the Baskel. Okay, another idea, a short idea. We have Machlekes Beshava Beisilal. When do we celebrate Rosh Hashanah Lilanos? On the first day of Shvat, or on the 15th day of Shvat? What's the difference? So to understand this, we have to take note that in Halacha, a third is very significant. Once you come to a third, you're past the miut. A third is up until a third, you're always a minority. Once you get past a third, you're no longer a minority. Because until a third, you always have double. There's always double what's not. Until you have a third, there are two-thirds. Two-thirds is double a third. But once you get past a third, no longer is there, you don't have bittul b'roiv anymore, because it's roiv, but it's no longer double, so it's no longer called a minority. Now, where do we have this idea? Very simple, a woman who's pregnant. Everyone knows that a woman is pregnant, so the child's not nikkur, it's not noticeable until 3 months. That's the pashut. The full development is 9 months. So 3 months, it's says that once already it's 3 months. Moshe Rabbeinu v'lo yochel od lahatzpino. Moshe, after 3 months, you can no longer hide the child. They had to 3 months. You can hide it. After 3 months, you can't hide it. Okay, the year is 12 months. 12 months divided by 3 is 4 months. From Rosh Hashanah, Aleph Tishrei, to Aleph Shvat is exactly 4 months. It's a third of the year. Now we're entering into the part of the year where it's no longer the minority. We're entering into the part of the year which is already significant. All of the barachos, all of the gezeros that were implemented, that were put into motion on Rosh Hashanah, are no longer beseser. Once you get past the third, what has been decreed at the time of Rosh Hashanah, already its implementation becomes apparent. Just like a woman who's pregnant, after 3 months, third of her pregnancy, it's already nikkur. The gezeros and the brachos that have been put into place at Rosh Hashanah, after a third of the year is over, already becomes noticeable. So when is the third of the year? So Beis Shammai says we calculate the third, the implementation, from Aleph Tishrei. Aleph Tishrei to Aleph Shvat is exactly 4 months, exactly a third. Because Beis Shammai has the midah of din. Beis Shammai is always midas hadin. And midas hadin, Rosh Hashanah, is Yimei Hadin. Beis Hillel says, no, we don't go from Yimei Hadin, we go from Yimei Harachamim. Sukkis. Sukkis is the time of the Yimei Hadin where we sweeten, where we mavakesh rachamim on sukkis to sweeten and to dilute the toikef, the severity of the din of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So Tu B'Shvat is exactly 4 months from Sukkis. So you have a series. So we have Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkis. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is din. Sukkis is rachamim. And there are many examples to bring that. They're all connected. And at Sukkis, we sweeten, we dilute the toikef, the severity of the din, with rachamim. Now, there's a set of gzeros, brachos that come to the world. It takes time. You can't hold Hashem hostage. Nothing happens overnight. Things take time to develop. Things are put into motion in Rosh Hashanah, and they begin to come to fruition over the year. A third of the year is over. Now we're going to start to see development. When do we focus? For what moment in time? So each one is l'shitasai. Beshamai is din. He's a very takif. Beshamai is takif. Din! 4 months, Rosh Hashanah, Yimei Hadin, Beis Hillel no Rachamim, 15th day. What's 15 days from Sukkis? So we start our calculation, and this really is in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Be'alef Shvat Rosh Hashanah Lilon Kedivrei Beis Shammai, Ubeis Hillel Oimrim Tesvavbo. Beis Shammai, we have the word Dibur Kedivrei, and Beis Hillel Oimer. Chazal say dibur lashon koshe, harsh. Amira is lashon racha, is soft. So when you go meshamai, it's din. The third of the year goes from Rosh Hashanah. Beis Hillel is racham. The third of the year goes from Sukkot. Okay, one more last, very very short last idea. Just a raw idea for you to think about. There are three parts to a tree. There are the roots. There is the trunk, and there are the fruit, the branches. The roots spread. The branches with the fruit spread. The trunk stays solid, doesn't go anywhere. It just goes straight up. Tu B'Shvat is the trunk. The roots have been there a long time already. Fruits, I don't know about you, I go outside. There are no fruits. There's going to be, hopefully there won't be snow, but it's not pleasant outside. There's no fruit on the trees outside. What's Tu B'Shvat? The sraf. Allah bi'ilah, the sap already inside the bark, inside the trunk, it's all ready to go. Tu B'Shvat is the center of the tree. The roots are there, the fruits have yet to come, but it's the bark of the tree. These three parts of the tree, Chazal compared to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avraham are the roots. It's the foundation for Klal Yisrael. The fruits, the branches, this is Yaakov Avinu. This is the blossoming of Klal Yisrael. The trunk of the tree, Chazal say, is Yitzchak. That means, connect the dots, Tu B'Shvat very much relates to Yitzchak. It's Yitzchak. Saf Olavi, what is Yitzchak? Din. I mean, not din, but it's Yira. And that means that the thing to focus on in Tu B'Shvat is Mo Hashem Elokecha Shomeimach Kim Liyira Oysai. So Rosh Hashanah Lilanos, what is man? Man, the purpose of man is Yira Shemayim. So it's a raw idea, but there is definitely a very powerful connection between Tu B'Shvat and Yitzchak Avinu. Okay? With that, we will conclude.